Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Man, welcome. My name is Pastor Antonio, and it's my privilege to be able to share the word with you tonight. So what I'm going to do is actually, I have a short message. It's actually a short thought that I want to share with you, but I've just been so sensing this week as preparing for tonight that God, there's just such a grace for healing tonight. And I just want to be obedient to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do and move in the way that He wants to move. And that's one of the advantages and why we're so grateful for these Sunday nights and our overflow services. So we are just thank you because we just want the overflow. We've had a great weekend in church, heard an amazing word from Pastor Dan this morning, and it just keeps going and going, right? So if you guys didn't make it to Sunday morning, I encourage you, you guys got to get the podcast, start coming Sunday mornings if you can. I know maybe some of you have work schedules and other things like that. But I want to share this thought with you. I'm thinking how, all right, God, what are we going to talk about? Or what do you want to share? Because it's not, if it was up to me, I really don't know what I would say. I couldn't concoct enough creativity or humor or thing that might grab your attention enough. So we rely on the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do and what He's speaking to myself is what He wants to share and impart in each and every one of our lives. Because whether you believe it or not, you are not here by accident. And maybe you already know that because you weren't supposed to be here and you've already experienced a miracle in coming. Anyone experienced the miracle already? Right? There is see, God's already moving, right? You experience the fact that you're in here, or maybe you're believing for someone that came and you're looking across like, oh my gosh. Maybe you're a parent with children that aren't serving the Lord right now and you're trying not to look over too much. I remember when I was somewhat of a rebellious teenager and my mom would be looking over at me in church. Oh my, is he clapping during worship? Is he look like he's paying attention during the sermon? What's going on? And maybe that's already a prayer answer that someone is in the house of God with you tonight. But I know that God wants to do something special. So I'm gonna pray. Is that okay? Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we're so grateful, Lord God, to just be able to be in your house and your presence, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that it's not my words like I was sharing, Lord God, but let it be your words. I just pray that as I step aside, you step in, Holy Spirit, and teach us, guard us, and protect us, Father God. Heal us tonight. Reveal, Lord God, those areas of our life and our hearts that you want to touch and heal and make better, Father God, and lift up. So we thank you for those of us who are just so believing for what you're going to do, and some of us who are maybe just kind of feeling out what's going on. I know that either way, you have something special in store. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, this, I realized how we can come into church and, you know, we want to sit down and maybe clap during worship, but don't make me stand up longer than I have to. And then sit down, talk to me, keep my attention. But I'm realizing that in between, maybe when you come to church next, maybe it's next Sunday you'll come to church, you have to walk out these doors and face what looks like your reality. I don't know what your reality could look like. Maybe it's a work schedule of sorts, a home life of sorts, and there's uncertainties all the time, all around you, every day. You know, maybe you have some monotony in your week, and maybe you have some, it's always different, but it's always bad. Or it's always different, but it's always exciting, whatever that might look like. But I realized this week that there are times when you just have a week that looks like it came out of the pit of hell. Right? Like, there's a crass figure of speech, I won't say it, but talking about what kind of day or a week you had, right? But it's referencing the idea of like, man, that was rough. But I realized as we, you know, in order, if we want to combat what hell would try to do, we have to input the truth into our lives, right? So if we're combating the kingdom of darkness, how do we combat that with the kingdom of light or the kingdom of God? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. We are earthlings. We live on earth. And it didn't say, you know, if you guys realize, those of you who are born again, you're not in heaven right now. You didn't get zapped up as soon as you got born again. Or maybe you, if we were supposed to, maybe you didn't really do it right. None of us did if we're here today. But you get what I'm saying? So in the meantime, we are living on her earth. So for us to combat or come against what would feel like hell in our lives, or what the reality of hell wants to do, whether it's attacking our finances with unexpected bills, or attacking our family with fights, or the devil is in your ear trying to tell you and remind you of what happened, or whatever it might be that would overwhelm you, that would make you feel overwhelmed, or would make you feel like, man, this is not how it's supposed to be. I'm a Christian. This is not what life is supposed to look like. Well, that's where we combat it with what the kingdom of God is saying. And so we've talked about this before. The kingdom of God is anywhere where God rules and reigns. Anywhere we allow God to rule and reign in our life, and we're operating with kingdom principles. We're operating within the kingdom of God. But too many times we want kingdom of God results without applying kingdom of God principles. Can I give an example? Is that okay? So we have the idea of oh, you know, God, you know, you can rule and reign in my finances, but don't mess with my relationship. See, I like this girl, and she likes me too, but we're not married yet, but we like to do things married people do. Oh, come on. Or hey, I'll give you my finances, God, but don't mess with my job, because I like this job, and I like this schedule, and I don't have time for church. Or hey, I'll come serve, and I'll be there at church every time the doors open. Just don't get in my money, God. Don't mess with my money. You can't be messing with that, God. So, but yet, where is God ruling and reigning? Where does we allow God to operate within his principles of the kingdom? Right? It's like, oh, hands off here. We can check here, but not there. But yet we want the principles, or we want the lifestyle of, man, I'm walking in the kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But yet we're not finding the fruit of his will in our life. In fact, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, what does it say? Let's read it together. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the New King James says righteousness, peace, and joy. Meaning that when we're in the kingdom of God, the fruit of what's happening in our life, the evidence of operating within the kingdom, is when we have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yet I don't have that peace. I don't have that joy. What's the disconnect, God? Well, we're not allowing him to rule and reign. So I would challenge us tonight. I would all of us to examine where we allow God to rule and reign. Allow where we're allowing, I'm sorry, ask where we're allowing God to come into our life, and where we're applying these kingdom principles. And maybe we'll find different results. Maybe we'll find a place where we are experiencing a joy, experiencing a peace. But it's that application of the kingdom of God versus that kingdom of darkness. So when hell tries to come, we can say, hell no, kingdom yes. I'm going to apply this principle. I'm going to experience peace. I'm going to experience joy. But anything short of that, I don't accept. So show me, Lord, where I can apply these principles. Show me, Lord, examine my heart. The Bible says, right, King David, examine my heart, God. Give me a clean heart, O God. You know, tonight I want to share a scripture with you. I wanted to share that thought with you, but I'm going to go into another scripture right now, and I want to kind of change gears here in Matthew chapter 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. It's a common group of scriptures here. We're going to be going 11, 28 through 30. You may have heard of these scriptures before. If we can get it up on the screen, this is out of the NASB. If you have your digital devices, but come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. Verse number 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to be talking tonight from a topic. The title of tonight's message is skip leg day. Skip leg day. Skip leg day. For us gym enthusiasts, right? For us who are a common occurrence, right, in the gym. Go to the gym often. I don't know if you could tell. I'm not really a gym enthusiast. But I'm glad that you weren't shocked by that. So that's good. It's a good thing. Right? But there's a common saying, and actually it's just the contrary. Don't skip leg day, bro. Don't skip leg day. Right? Can we show a picture of Yeah, so no day is leg day for this guy right here. See, because in gym talk, in gym world, the idea is, you know, a lot of people like big upper bodies, torsos, right? Especially for the gentlemen who have big biceps, big shoulders, big back, right? But it's not as fun and oftentimes not as evident to do legs, right? You don't have to do legs, but then you have these people that are big up here and look all buff, and then they got some no leg day looking legs, right? So, but we're trying to say skip leg day, because we know that leg days are rough. If anyone ever been to the gym, right? So leg day, it really is leg exercises, maybe some squats, right? Working on those hamstrings. Or I was at a wedding last night, I was dancing, I woke up a little sore in my calves, right? So maybe, you know, you get a good workout in. Can we get some pictures of leg day? Those 3 days after leg day, where you were laughing at the life alert lady. I was getting a kick out of these. When you get out of bed the morning after leg day, you remember. And then day after leg day, the penguin waddle. So if you've done leg day, you know what it's like. A few days after legs, trying to walk around and get around. But in these scriptures, I feel like Jesus is saying, skip leg day, guys. Skip leg day. You don't got to have big quads for what I'm trying to give you. Take a break. Right? You know, the reason I titled this is because, so here's Jesus, and he's talking to a group of people, right? Wherever Jesus went, there was crowds of people, right? Presumably, a lot of them were believers, followers, right? These people were going from town, they would just follow him, and they would want to get new information. So they're if they continue to follow, they're obviously believing in what this guy's doing. So, I mean, imagine a group of followers today, people who would call themselves, I follow Jesus. Maybe some of them would be considered disciples at this point. Not the 12 specifically, but followers of Jesus. And he's telling them, look, guys, I know you're worried. I know you got a late notice on your rent. I know the rent is due. I know you have bills to pay. I know you have kids to feed, right? I know you have a little bit of anxiety because that girl didn't follow you back after you followed them, right? On Jesus Israeli sites, I don't know. But there, you know, but Jesus understood that there was pressures. Jesus understood that there was burdens, that there was weight that people were carrying. And so it's not like a new concept that people would want rest, that people would want a break, that people were carrying a bigger load than maybe they felt like they could handle. You know, it's not just us in modern society. Oh my gosh, you just don't know my life. You guys didn't have to deal with this. I have to deal with, you know, you guys had dial-up. I have all this information. You know, like, it's not just modern day people. So Jesus is talking to these people and he's saying, look guys, I want to give you some rest. And the interesting thing here is that, can we bring up verse 30 again? Because we can look in verse 30 where it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to grab this real quick. Man, we have an amazingly creative facilities department here. I showed them a picture of a yoke. Can we get a picture of a yoke? All right, so this is a yoke, right? This is of oxen. Right, and so Jesus was talking to people in terms that they understood. So I showed him a picture. I was like, you know what, I could probably just use like a 2x4 and kind of get the idea. And I showed a picture of a yoke, and they built me one of these cool things here. And it was just kind of the idea to share that. So Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so a yoke in this scripture can also be defined as kind of a way of teaching or a way of thought or a philosophy even. So the way that we understand things, and Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, and my burden could be a responsibility that you carry, right? Maybe some of your burdens are bills. Maybe some of your burdens are student loans. Some of your burdens are family members that you have to provide for, whatever it might be, a business that you're believing for. So imagine this yoke, right? And we see a yoke of oxen, and we see this specific yoke of oxen has a big burden there, don't they? That's a big load. And so, you know, you get this idea of a yoke that we have. And so you see there's the two, You see, you have two heads here, right? Where presumably we're saying, my yoke is easy, so if you attach yourself to me, you come with me. I don't know which oxen you want to be, but the idea is one is you and one is Jesus. So you come along with me and yoke yourself onto me, and my yoke is easy. So you don't have to carry these weights or burdens. And my burden is light. Did you notice it didn't say my burden is gone? My yoke is easy and there is no burden. There's no responsibility. Because remember, the burden in this case could be looked at as a responsibility. Because you realize that as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, which we are striving to be the best disciples or followers of Jesus, and if you're yet a disciple, we will work on that here shortly. But if you've yet to commit yourself to be a follower of Jesus, it didn't say that there is no burden. It didn't say there is no responsibility. There's no task or idea that you have to carry as a disciple. In fact, we talked about how in this group of people, you'd imagine the 12 are there. So he's saying, hey guys, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you play with me for a second? Can we imagine what the 12 disciples might be thinking? Because, you know, I was thinking about this and it's saying, okay, yoke is easy, burden is light. But for these 12 disciples, like, man, we haven't had a day off. And we walk everywhere. And we have to feed people. We had to feed 5,000 men. It's around about 15,000 people. And we had to track down the food. And we had to go across the lake, and there was storms, and we thought we were going to die. And I don't know, what kind of easy is Jesus talking about? What does that mean? Is Jesus lying to these people? He's just trying to get more followers? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about where an easy yoke and a light burden? Because there's a cost to being a disciple. But so you understand the paradox that there is. You're saying, hey, here's Jesus saying on one hand, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Meaning, hey, you take on the mindset of my mindset that I give you. You attach yourself to me. And you're not going to have to carry the weight that those oxen have to carry. And when it comes to your burden, yes, it's going to exist, but it's going to be a light burden. So how do we attain that, Jesus? Because I'm being persecuted on my job for being Christian. Or I don't get to do the things that my flesh wants to do. I feel like I constantly have to say no. I feel like I just keep losing stuff. I'm losing friends. I'm losing job opportunities because I'm turning down those type of jobs now. Or I'm losing family members because they think I'm crazy. I'm trying to be obedient with my tithes and offerings. So it just seems like these things are just hard on me, Jesus. Where's this easy burden that you're talking about? See, but I think what this easy burden that we're seeing here is the idea of what it would look like in a Christian life. So living the experience of a Christian life and living in the fruit of what a Christian life is where that easy burden comes into play. And maybe that word easy could be a little bit deceiving because I don't think anywhere Jesus is saying having an easy life. Because he's not a false advertiser. He did say persecution will come. Right, it's not like he's trying to trick people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he was a false advertiser. Right, I'm not saying that he was like, "Hey, follow me, and life is going to be easy." He said, "The burden will be easy." How can we? So I think the question is, how can we find an easy burden in our life? I'm going to call the band up. Like I said, I was going to be short. I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you, because I believe what God was speaking to me this week is that as believers, too many times, we find ourselves in places where the burden kind of ends up right here in our head. And while we ideally would like to be yoked up with Jesus, we end up yoking ourselves up to circumstances. And the burden that we carry is not the light burden that Jesus is talking about with the responsibility that he'll give. Because there is a weight to being, again, there is a cost to being a disciple. But he's saying, I'm gonna carry the burden. But yet, because we've yoked ourselves to our current circumstance, to our bank account, to our relationships, to our failures,
the burden just stacks up, and what we have to carry ends up being a lot more than what we've even been designed to carry. I like to think about it as our physical bodies weren't designed to carry the load that life will have for you. Right, where our shoulders aren't like that. It's kind of like you can't move that way. My shoulder doesn't go back like that. Or, you know, your fingers don't move. You know, it's not, your body wasn't designed, your spirit person wasn't designed to carry the burden that God knew life would try to bring at you. Incoming the Christian experience of following Jesus, of yoking yourself to Jesus and attaching yourself to him. So in a moment, I believe God's put some things that I'd like to call out tonight for healing. But before we go any further, what I want to do is I want to make sure that we are all right before the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.